Hi, it's Jamie, Progressive's Employee of the Month, 2 months in a row. Leave a message at the...
Hi, Jamie. It's me, Jamie. I just had a new idea for our song about the Name Your Price tool. So when it's like, tell us what you want to pay, hey, 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 and the trombone goes, blah, 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 and you say, we'll help you find coverage options to fit your budget. Then we just all do finger snaps while a choir goes, savings coming at ya, savings coming at ya. Yes? No? Maybe? Anyway, see you at practice tonight. I got new lyrics for the rap break.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
And now, an ad from Dad.
All right. Save money on car insurance when you bundle home and auto with Progressive.
Can I take these off?
All right. What is this? This looks good.
Wow. That's well made.
Where did you get this? I'm talking to you with the hair. Yeah, where did you get this? It's good stuff. That's solid. That's not veneer. That's solid stuff.
Progressive can't save you from becoming your parents, but we can save you money when you bundle home and auto. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company, affiliates, and other insurers. Discounts not available in all states or situations.
Hey, this is Joe Manganiello, better known as Flash Thompson in the Spider-Man movies, Brad on How I Met Your Mother, Owen Morello on One Tree Hill, and Lieutenant Sean Macklin in Behind Enemy Lines Columbia. And you're listening to Mike the Birdman Dodd and the Twig Crew on This Week in Geek.net.
Did you grow up with the NES, PlayStation, Star Wars, cartoons, and 80s TV? Do you like to think who would win in a fight between Batman and the Master Chief? Comics, games, movies, music, and TV, they're gonna tell you everything you need. Superheroes or not, they got your back, they're gonna save the world of geeks. Games, movies, music, and TV, they're gonna tell you everything you need. Superheroes or not, they got your back, they're gonna save the world of geeks. This Week in Geek. This Week in Geek.
Hey guys, what's going on? This is Mike the Birdman Dodd, and you are listening to This Week in Geek. Well, guys, I've been under the weather for a couple of days now, and I'm recovering from the dreaded swine flu. So during that time, I've had a chance to go through my email and do some kind of business contacting, you know, kind of getting to know the jive of Hollywood, if you will. And one of the cool people I happened to come across was a guy who actually played Flash Thompson in Spider-Man and Spider-Man 3, but it turns out he's done a lot of other really cool stuff, like How I Met Your Mother. He's been on CSI. He's actually in a movie with a professional wrestler. So, hey, that's good enough street cred for me. Who am I talking about? I'm talking about Joe Manganiello, and he is quite an awesome guy. And it turns out he's a little bit of a nerd, because we were just kind of talking a little bit before this interview happened, and it turns out he's auditioned for some pretty cool stuff. So we're gonna go right into that interview right now. Well, guys, I am joined here with Joe himself. So, Joe, I gotta ask you, man, how did you get into this whole acting biz, man? Like, I'm just looking at your filmography, and you have been in a lot of really strange stuff, and basically stuff I wouldn't expect you to be in. I mean, I'm just looking here, from One Tree Hill to ER to CSI to Spider-Man. I mean, how does one basically go across so many genres?
Oh, man, that's a good question. I think a lot of it had to do with my education. I have a BFA in acting from the Carnegie Mellon University School of Drama, and they pretty much teach you everything there. You know, for every time period, from ancient Greek through Shakespeare through you know, turn of the century Chekhov, all the way up to the modern day Tennessee Williams, and you know, whatnot. So I think you come out of there and you can wind up doing a whole heck of a lot. Which, you know, it was funny that, you know, the first job I booked when I moved to L.A. was Spider-Man, playing Flash Thompson, the bully in Spider-Man. And it's funny that after I shot that movie, casting directors were calling my agent saying, okay, we know he can play the bully, but we're not sure if he can play anything else, you know, which is funny from coming from where, you know, where I came from school-wise. So, I don't know, maybe the fact that I have a lot of different personalities, being a split personality, I don't know, some kind of schizophrenic personality type where, you know, you just kind of bounce around a lot and have a lot of different sides.
Now, from being around the, like, Pittsburgh area, I know a lot of the George A. Romero zombie films were kind of shot around there. Now, did you ever want to be involved in that sort of thing? Because I know a lot of actors in Pittsburgh get their start doing that sort of thing.
Sure. Oh, yeah. Well, that was one of the first conversations I had with Sam Raimi when I worked with him on Spider-Man was, you know, I said, I come from Pittsburgh, and you know that's where zombies were invented. And, you know, we laughed and kind of talked about it. Of course, you know, Sam being the director of the Evil Dead movies. And, it would have been great to have been in one of those films, you know, but they all the zombie movies didn't happen to be filming when I was in college. And, you know, when I was also in college, they kind of frowned upon us working in outside projects, especially film projects. They wanted us just concentrating on classical theater all day, every day. And that kind of upset me to the point where my junior year, I wrote this script. I kind of got mad at the school and wrote this script where, you know, a bunch of Chechenian terrorists take over Carnegie Mellon and blow it up. And we actually got $72,000 to film this little short film that I wrote, and it turned into this huge monster, you know, on-campus production. And that was really, you know, the first film work all of us had done.
Wow, to go from, wow, that's amazing. The fact that you actually got money to make a terrorist film, I find that kind of funny. So,
well, and I'll tell you, one of the worst parts about it was that, you know, we had a big screening for the head of the university and a lot of the financiers, and we had that scheduled to the end of, you know, the end of this week. And, in the middle of that week, Columbine happened.
Oh, wow.
And so we had been working on this project for about 6 months, and it had finally come to fruition. We were finally ready to show it, and Columbine happened, which was, you know, a bunch of kids that take over school and blow it up. And we were pretty nervous to show it to the dean of the university. Of course, you know, what could we have done? What could we have known, you know? And it was just bizarre timing. And luckily, the president, you know, loved the effort of the students and didn't look at it as far as, you know, what the content was.
Wow, that's astounding just to see how much life imitates art. The fact this was almost predictive, so to speak. So after you did that, I mean, like, did that kind of shape your experiences as an actor and a writer, seeing something so horrible happen and the fact that you kind of did the same thing? Like, do you kind of get where I'm going with this?
Yeah, I mean, it was eerie, you know. It was a really, we had a really eerie feeling, you know, all of us, because, like I said, I mean, we've been working on it for 6 months. I mean, what do we know? We had no idea. But you kind of see that happen a lot, I guess. I mean, you see, you know, movies, they say, you know, movies are like the dream, like an actual dream of the collective consciousness. You know, people all go to, you know, movie theaters, and they all see the same images, and these things kind of enter the consciousness of society. And, you know, I mean, you look at 24, and you look at how 24 reflects kind of the, you know, the nuclear threats that were happening, you know, and the terrorism era. And, you know, I think a lot of the times, I mean, you know, these ideas just kind of float around. You see volcano movies, three of them come out at the same time. Two Wyatt Earp movies come out in the same month. You know, I really believe that there is kind of a collective consciousness thing, but, you know, nonetheless, it's really creepy when you witness it firsthand.
So as you've moved out of the kind of college environment, and you said you were getting casting calls, how did you get the gig on Spider-Man? And what was it like working on that set with someone like you, like the famed director Sam Raimi, but also working with like Tobey Maguire and Kirsten Dunst and all them? What was that experience like?
It was pretty surreal. You know, once again, you know, I went to a great college, and the college has a great reputation, and as a result of that reputation, a lot of casting directors, directors, managers, agents, all, you know, the way that Division I athletes are kind of plucked up or, you know, or recruited, that's kind of what happens to us. And so the week that I got out of school, a lot of, you know, agents and managers and casting people were, you know, were interested in me, interested in working with me. And one of the meetings that I had that first week that I got out of school was Spider-Man. And I auditioned for actually the part of Peter Parker. All the men auditioned for Peter Parker. And out of that, they made the cast. I auditioned for Peter Parker. They knew right away I was wrong for it. They knew it. I knew it. But I had worked on, I found the sides for Flash. And I had started working on the scripts for Flash. and I actually wore another shirt underneath my Peter Parker shirt. And so they asked me, if, you know, spur of the moment, can you read for Flash? And I said, sure. And I, you know, took the shirt off, had another shirt on underneath, and went into my Flash thing. And the next week I got asked to screen test for Flash alongside of James Franco, who was at the time screen testing to play Peter Parker. And out of that screen test, obviously, you know, I wound up being cast as Flash, and James wound up being cast as Harry Osborn. So then I wound up on set. They put the rest of the cast together with Toby, Kirsten, and it was intense, man. I mean, it was, you know, throwing the kid in the water and seeing if he could swim.
Now, did you have any kind of fun experiences on that set? I mean, like, during the one scene where Tobey Maguire is more or less kicking the crap out of you, I mean, like, how many takes did that like go through? Because I see you have some stunt work in your kind of background. So did you do your own stunts for that fight scene?
I did as much as they would let me. And there were actually two stunts that were involved in my getting punched and flying down the hallway. And the first stunt was called the Ratchet, which is a device that basically they hook a harness on underneath your shirt that's connected to a wire that is connected to this pulley system. And the pulley system, when they press a button, will shoot you back at about 80 miles per hour. So you have to keep the string very taut. And if you don't, which, you know, I did this stunt five times, but on the fourth time when he punches me and I flat him out, I did not keep the string as taut as possible. And it felt like, you know, in Bugs Bunny cartoons, like I went flying backwards and like my teeth were still there, you know. And I did that stunt, but then there was another one where to make it look right when I hit the ground, they had to yank me off of a 12-inch platform straight onto my elbows, basically. And that was deemed too dangerous, so my stunt double, Oliver Keller, who's this great stuntman from Switzerland, who's doubled me on actually a lot of projects since, you know, we've been working together now since Spider-Man, but that was the first time he doubled me. He had to do that stunt because I could have, you know, shattered my elbow.
Oh, wow. I mean, that's just intense to figure out that stunt would actually take that much work. I figure that was just like tricky camera work and whatnot. To know that was a practical effects actually kind of neat, actually.
Yeah, there's a lot of stuff that goes into it. You know, you kind of think, you know, when you get onto these, at least I thought when I got on the spider, I kind of just took for granted special effects. I thought, oh, they just have these devices or fancy cameras that they use. But, I mean, really, these guys are, all of these special effects people could have been working for NASA had it not been for the movie industry. They're amazing. I mean, a lot of the stuff is just soldered together, taped together, glued together, and they think it's going to work, but let's see. You know, and that, of course, that's a school of thought that started, you know, way back in 2001 in Star Wars. And the guy who did the effects for 2001 and for Star Wars, John Dykstra, was on Spider-Man, the guy who basically built the Death Star out of a bunch of ping pong tables and cardboard milk cartons.
Holy shit, I didn't know that. That's amazing.
Yeah, it's pretty cool.
So, all right, so now that you've got into, like, the kind of film world and doing a movie like Spider-Man, I'm actually looking at what else you did in 2002, and according to your IMDb profile here, you were in a movie called The Ketchup King with the, I love the name of this character, and I'm going to have some fun with it, Black Dildo. Can you explain that one to me?
Sure. It was actually a guy I went to college with at Carnegie Mellon. He made, I guess, like a student. It was like a student film, like this low-budget student film called The Ketchup King. And he asked me, there's a scene in which there, I do a lot of voices and impersonations, and I guess he had heard me do an impersonation of Mr. T. So at some point in this movie, this black dildo puppet comes out and is yelling at this guy for sticking the black dildo up his ass or something crazy like that. And so he asked me if I would do a voiceover of this black dildo and do my Mr. T impersonation as the voice. And so I did it, and somehow it wound up on IMDb. Somehow it wound up not being listed as a voiceover. It just says black dildo. And I mean, I've tried to have that thing taken down a million times. I even talked to the director. He doesn't know anything, you know, whatever. I mean, It looks like I basically did some gay porn or something.
Yeah, yeah, I was kind of wondering, like, let's say the same year you do Spider-Man, you play in that movie. But I was, then again, I was kind of looking at the budget. I'm thinking it's probably a student film, or it's like an internet short or something like that. All right, so from playing...
My breakout role is the Black Dildo.
All right, so from going to playing an iconic comic book character to the Black Dildo, how do you go to more dramatic roles, like in ER and One Tree Hill? Basically, like, when you got those gigs, what was it like to get into that mindset that you're doing something a little bit more kind of serious now?
You know, I think,
Let's say you just bought a house. Bad news is, you're one step closer to becoming your parents. You'll proudly mow the lawn, ask if anybody noticed you mowed the lawn, tell people to stay off the lawn, compare it to your neighbor's lawn, and complain about having to mow the lawn again. Good news is, it's easy to bundle home and auto through Progressive and save on your car insurance, which, of course, will go right into the lawn. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company, affiliates, and other insurers. Discount not available in all states or situations.
The Starlight Lounge presents An Evening with the Progressive Box.
Old moon, yeah. That's Hugo, tickling the ivories. He just saved by bundling home and auto with Progressive. Gonna finally buy a ring for that gal of yours, Hugo? Send her my condolences. Hi-oh! This next one's for you, too. There's... a burglar in my heart. Thank you.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Discounts not available in all states or situations.
Well, they all kind of have a little bit of... there's comedy and there's drama in ER. They have a lot of comedy in One Tree Hill. I mean, it just kind of depends, I guess, on the material, you know? I mean, even, you know, Flash Thompson, there's some... goofy, kind of funny, Three Stooges-y stuff that's kind of in some of my scenes, you know, as far as the bumping him while he's trying to take the picture and just acting like this complete, you know, for lack of a better word, douchebag, you know? So I think, you know, slipping into something like ER or, you know, One Tree or CSI, I mean, those are just kind of, you know, just, I guess, different shades of the coin, you know, different shades of my personality or, you know, different side of the coin. I mean, when you get into stuff like, say, How I Met Your Mother, Till Death, stuff that's, you know, multi-camera, sitcom, you know, live audience taping. I mean, then you kind of start getting into a different animal. But, you know, as far as, you know, the dramas go, I mean, those are all, you know, pretty similar, at least, you know, in your approach.
Now, was there any particular moments from either of those experiences that were maybe particularly fun or maybe something that stuck with you as an actor that made you improve your craft?
Let's see. My time on How I Met Your Mother, you know, I guess, you know, I had done comedy in college and I'd worked on comic scenes, but I never foresaw having a legitimate career in comedy the way that I have. And I think that really started with How I Met Your Mother. At least to show me that, you know, especially when they kept calling me back. I mean, I've done 5 episodes now. And then that's kind of led to me being on a lot of other comedy shows. So I think that's something that was really surprising to me. You know, on the other side of it, I mean, things that really, really stretched me have really stretched me and paved the way for bigger and better things have been a lot of the stage work that I've done. I get to go back and do usually a play each year. And I've been really fortunate to work on some great material. That seems like stuff that's really stretched me. But, you know, this past week I had an experience. I'm working on an episode of Medium that was directed by David Arquette. And I have a scene where I'm a ghost and I come back and I have to deliver this speech to my infant son on the day that he's born. And I find out that my infant son can see me as a ghost and that I'm going to be able to have some time with him. You know, that was something that I think really, you know, I don't know, I kind of grew out of it. It was a really neat experience. It was a really, you know, really cool thing to do. I'm, you know, very emotional, very, you know, very sad.
Now, is that now... I guess speaking of TV shows like Medium. Is there any particular project that like, or like any show that you've always really wanted to like kind of be on? Like, are, like, is there any shows that are currently airing that you say, man, I want to get on that show?
Yes. Yeah, there is. The show True Blood, there are werewolves coming up. There should be werewolves coming up on this season. I'm very excited about that. And I guess I'm in the process of campaigning to get on the show as a werewolf this season. So that's a big one. And that's something also that was brought to the attention of fans. Fans started blogs on the internet and would send me these blogs and bring them to my attention that people were campaigning for me to play this part. And so that's kind of how I got into the show and into the books. So that would be a dream come true. Another one, I know they're making a live action movie of the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. And you talked about me being a nerd before, and I was a big Ninja Turtle comic fan. I read all the black and whites, the old Eastman and Laird black and white comics when they first came out.
Oh, wow.
In the 80s, I guess. I was a huge fan. I have a lot of the original comics still in the closet back at my mother's house. And to have the chance to play Casey Jones would be another dream come true. So
I think you can.
Two that are definitely on my radar.
I think you would definitely kick ass in that role. I can actually totally see that, actually. Like, have you ever, actually, just as a random thought from the ether here, have you ever thought about dressing up as Casey Jones for maybe this Halloween and doing an actual campaign for it?
Ooh, that's a fantastic. I've been trying to figure out what I was going to be for Halloween. I was kind of thinking wearing, I have these big, thick frame glasses. I was thinking about wearing a suit with kind of like a red cape sticking out of the back, you know, kind of like a Clark Kentish thing, which is another role that would be fun to play. But that Casey Jones thing, man, that could work. That could definitely work.
See, there you go. And if you do that, definitely me and the listeners of This Week in Geek will do what we can to campaign. The producers, the directors, we'll even send letters. We'll send hockey masks to their house or something.
Nice. Yeah, hockey sticks. Yeah.
I think that would be totally cool. So I guess as my final couple questions here, what advice can you give to aspiring actors and actresses that want to get in the field and basically get their like kind of feet wet? Basically, what advice can you give them to achieve this, the success that you have?
I am a big advocate of classical training. And I know that we live in a day and age where you look at TV and there's a lot of people that are famous for basically nothing, you know? And I am a big advocate of people being famous for doing things well. And I think if you want to do this well, I think you need to learn the history of it. I think you need to grow a respect for it. I think you need to realize that the art form of acting is thousands of years old, not 50 years old like TV or 100 years old like film. This thing dates way back. And, you know, I think my favorite actors are generally the ones who have that type of training. So I would say do that. You know, it's an investment of time and effort, but I think in the long run, it sets you apart from the rest of the field. So I would definitely recommend if you're going to get into this thing, do it right.
Excellent. Very, very sound advice. So I guess, Joe, if people wanted to find you around the web, where would they have to go?
You can view my reel, and you can actually view film clips from just about every film or TV project I've ever been in at my website, which is joemanganiello.com. That's joemanganiello.com. I also have a MySpace page and a Facebook page and a Facebook fan page. So I can be reached there. I also have a Twitter. At Joe Manganiello on Twitter. And then as far as Facebook goes, I think there's some fake knees. So I'm not the one. There's a fake knee with my shirt off. And that's not me. So whoever that is, if you're listening to this, you need to accept my friend request, or you need to like take that thing down because it's freaking me out.
All right there, Joe. Well, I definitely want to thank you for being with us today on This Week in Geek. Just want you to hold the line for just a moment. So guys, that was our interview with Joe Manganiello. Like I said, this guy's done a lot of really, really cool stuff, a lot of really sound advice. And it's just kind of funny when you think about Flash Thompson and Casey Jones could potentially be the same person. So, guys, if we can get him in the next Ninja Turtles movie, that would kick so much ass it bleeds. I mean, come on. He already can play a tough guy. I think it's something worth checking out. So be sure to check out his website, his Facebook. But remember, not the guy with the shirt off. Definitely not him. So anyway, guys, that's going to do it for me. So I'll be back next week right here on This Week in Geek, where we have our brand new news show, the Nerd News Network. All sorts of crazy interviews. If you've heard our interview with veteran cartoon voice actor Billy West, among many, many others. We've got a lot of surprises coming up this season. And don't forget, we have a huge giveaway. I have a box worth $2,000. DVDs, video games, movies. Stay tuned, guys. I want to give this away. So don't forget about our YouTube contest. Make a promo for This Week in Geek. Send us the link. Let's see what you guys can do. So that's going to do it for me. So until next time, guys, live free or die hard. And I'll be back next time right here on This Week in Geek on thisweekingeek.net.
Want to see me make bubbles with my spit?
Sure do. In fact, that's the theme of our next show.
So don't miss it.
What the hell happened to George Lucas?
Remember, kids, buy pizza, pay with steak.
What's your social media business card? My fist.
Just give me a big box of beef.
Don't give them ideas.
Don't forget our other twig project, George Lucas has lost his mind.com.
Does Jesus have Matrix powers?
I think the Pillsbury Doughboy is albino.
I'd like to see a cat on Tourette's.
That's the moment I give up on life. Because then I don't know what to believe in anymore. When the Amish start twittering, I'm done.
Can we leave this subject alone?
Hello.
I can feel it coming in the air tonight. Oh, no.
Hi, Chris. How are you?
I'm confused. As you can imagine, they don't let us out much.
You've been listening to This Week in Geek. Tune in next week to hear Kyle Hebert say...
Today, the world. Tomorrow, the universe. Next week, my chiropractor. Ay, my back.
Check out our website, thisweekingeek.net, for more geek content, as well as subscribe to our podcast through iTunes or any podcatcher. If you'd like to comment about this episode, head to this episode post on thisweekingeek.net and comment through Facebook Connect. Or you can also call our voicemail line at 817-717-7202 or email us at feedback@thisweekingeek.net. This extra music was produced by perpetualemotionmachine.ca. We'll see you next time, and remember,
lower your shields and surrender your listenership.
I can't believe it.
That Gerald is presenting the quarterly budget report with finger puppets?
Look, here comes a 1.7% decrease in fixed overhead. Hello, everybody!
No, I can't believe how easy it was to save hundreds of dollars on my car insurance with Geico.
Who are you? The projected increase in organic Q3 revenue. Hooray!
Believe it, Geico could save you 15% or more on car insurance.
Let's consider the secret life of the innermost nesting doll. Living most of her life in the dark, inside the other nesting dolls, she has plenty of time to think, if she could. Sadly, she has no brain. However, when an innermost nesting doll hears that Geico not only saves people money, but also has been providing great service for over 75 years, she thinks it's obvious you should switch. Because yes, switching to Geico is a no-brainer. Pity the innermost nesting doll and her lot in life.